Okay Stuff Country Nights with Evan Paul on demand. This episode got a good one for you. A great interview we had with Chris Young. I love when he stops by, man. We talk about everything from his new bar that he's about to open, his new music he's putting out, and we try to get into some relationship stuff, but you'll see how that goes. Also, a bonus after that, we have country newcomer Graham Barham, who just put out his debut album, Club Country. We got Chris Young in the house. What's happening?
Oh, not much, man. Just stopping by to talk music and...
Oh, put my phone on.
I know. No, you should absolutely leave that in the interview, too. Normally, it's always the artist that forgets to turn their phone off. This time, it was not.
Damn it. All right, give me the story of the new single, man.
Yeah, so this song sounds like we wrote it at 9 p.m. We wrote it at 9 a.m., but it was because I was out the day before. I'd run into Dallas Davidson, hadn't seen Dal in a while, and I was like, hey, man, I'm going to wait out traffic. I'll just hang with you. I'll get an Uber back to my house once traffic dies down. And so it hit like 6 o'clock. And I'm like, he goes, you want one more? I'm like, nah, I'm going to leave. I'm going to head to the house. My dog probably really wants to go outside about right now. When you get a 114-pound German Shepherd, it's like, hey, you should probably let him go outside to do whatever he's going to do. And I was like, what about you? He goes, oh, I didn't come here to leave. And I'm like, excuse me?
You knew it right away?
I swear this is how this happened. And I was like, dude, we have to write that tomorrow. He goes, well, I've got to write at 11. I was like, dude, I will be at your office at 9 a.m. with a cup of coffee if you'll write this with me tomorrow. So me, him, and Kyle Fishman all got together and wrote this one. And the rest is sort of at least history for me, hopefully making some history in the future. But yeah, that's a new single. It's fun. It's a great summer song. Talking about just hanging with your friends and catching up with everybody.
And CMA Fest was last week. Of course, it's going to rerun on ABC sometime down the future. Is there anything that was your favorite memory of this year's CMA Fest?
I was out of town for most of this one.
Wow.
Yeah, I had a private gig, and then I was out of state for a show. And then in between that, I was working on the sports bar restaurant opening. So I didn't really have a chance to go see a lot of other people that are friends of mine, which is normally what you're doing. You're right. Either playing your own gigs in Nashville that week, or you're going to see other people's shows. And I didn't really have the opportunity this year to do that like I normally do.
What's a private gig for you look like? Did you do a bar mitzvah or something? A birthday party?
No. don't get out of hand about that. Somebody's like, hey, can you come play my birthday in the backyard? No. It's this is a thing that was for a military charity.
Oh, nice.
So got a chance to do that. It was really cool. Everybody was super nice. And, I love doing stuff like that, especially when it involves giving back to things that I'm super supportive of, which definitely military is one of those. But yeah, it was fun. It just happened to coincide with the week of CMA Fest.
Right, but this is what makes you great, is that if I didn't pry, that would have just gone down as a private gig. But here Fair. You are doing a charity for the military, like, and the fact that you're not putting that out there, that shows what kind of good person you are, man.
Well, okay, full disclosure, they paid us to come do it.
It doesn't matter.
I also donated to it. So
there you go. Yeah.
But they were great people, and they were doing a thing for a great cause.
That's cool, man. Your new album drops on your birthday. Did you do that on purpose?
Yes, obviously we did. the album has been out, but this is going to be the deluxe version of it. It's got a duet with Shaylin on there. It's got a duet with Breland. That's really, really cool. Both completely different songs. You know, I think the point counterpoint with Breland and me sort of being a little bit different stylistically, obviously, was a lot of fun. And I just love him. I think he's a phenomenal talent. And how the song came out, I was like, I love this song. And it's 5 years ago that we wrote it.
Wow.
And so we kept going, we love this song. And like nothing happened with it. And so for this record, I was like, it's going on the deluxe. Like this is going on that record. And then the Shay Lynn song's obviously, you know, breakup song. It's one of those where everybody, I feel like, tries to make it sound sometimes like they got the better end of the breakup when everybody around them is sort of looking at them going, we're around you too much, man. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the idea of this, is like one person's like moving on and one person's breaking.
Okay.
So really cool song.
What do some of your non-famous friends get you for your birthday nowadays? And like, do you have a favorite?
Show up and hang out. There's not anything that I really want anybody to get me necessarily for my birthday. And
what's like your great aunt getting you? Like your grandma? Are they sending you like, you know, statues of horses?
A text message? Just tell me you still love me. Like that's all I need. I will say my mom had the coolest gift for my 40th. She didn't tell me, but this is last year, obviously. But she went and got a titanium Rolex for me.
Whoa.
And totally surprised the heck out of me.
Wow.
So that is probably one of the craziest gifts of like, I just was not expecting that.
Wow. From your own mom?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Did you reciprocate?
Oh, I've already gotten her a watch. Don't worry. Like that's already happened. Anybody watching this, please don't think that I haven't got my mom anything ever. Yeah, I would be a horrible son.
And now if you're at a birthday party, do people get mad when you sing happy birthday? Cause you're obviously.
No. No one sings happy birthday well. You could have a choir full of people and somebody could pitch pipe the happy, and it never fails. There's somebody that's just going off script, or they try to go like a third above thinking they're being cool because they were in the choir and they're like, oh, it's a little higher than I expected. Like happy birthday is sort of like karaoke. I feel like,
okay,
it's fine for it to be bad. It's more like the feeling and the experience.
So do you
of
try
it
when you say happy birthday to other people, or do you just go whatever?
Well, I mean, like, if I'm singing it, I know what key I'm singing it in and everything.
If you're at a birthday party for a non-famous friend that's at like Olive Garden and everybody starts singing, are you
trying?
But
when you're at Olive Garden, you're family, so you could totally mess up at Olive Garden and it's completely fine. Okay. No, I'm just trying to have fun. Like it's the same thing. You're just trying to give that embodiment of fun for somebody getting to celebrate another, you know, trip around the sun, man. I mean, that's what it's all about. And anybody that like hates celebrating their birthday, I've got friends that hate their birthday. They're like, I'm getting older. Or they're just like, oh, I just don't like birthdays. I'm like, look, always celebrate your birthday. Always.
It's good advice, man. I like that. Tell me about the song Wedding Band. Is this, are you trying to tell us something here? Is there news?
Well, first of all,
we're breaking news.
There's two things that I never talk about. One is my personal life and one is politics. And I've said that for the entire time I've had a record
deal. Absolutely.
But no, it's not that. And actually, if you listen to the song, the song is a sad song, and it's basically this guy that always like was the guy playing a guitar at a party, and he always sort of liked his friend, but he never really told her. And then she falls in love and she's getting married, and she's like, will you play the reception? And so the hook of the song is, we're both leaving with a wedding band.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
And my buddy Josh is one of the co-writers on this. And Josh, if you see this and you're looking at this camera footage right now or just hearing it, I hate you for not calling me to help you write it, but I still love you. And it's a fantastic song.
You mentioned earlier about your restaurant and bar. How's that going, the opening?
It's great. It's great. So basically, it is completely different. Sort of like a bit of counter-programming on my part. you know, it's one of my friends called me and they're like, how many stories is it? I was like, one. They're like, well, how big is it? I was like, well, it's like 90 people. They're like, was there a stage? And I was like, no, it's a sports bar. I mean, like, there's like stuff on the walls. There's some memorabilia. And actually, I've had other friends give me some of their plaques to put up in there, which is cool. And then there's like some sports memorabilia stuff in there. But it's just something different and something that I wanted to do and something I really enjoyed working on as a side project. And it's just, I think it's fantastic. I love everybody that works there. You know, the chefs are absolutely amazing. I feel like it's a slap in the face to them to call it elevated bar food.
right.
But it is exactly like you look at the menu. There's a couple things you wouldn't expect. You know, for example, we're doing a regular burger, but we also do an impossible burger.
I got you. Okay.
Yes, it is called the On Impossible Burger. but it's fun, man. And I wanted a place where people can go, they can watch games and just enjoy themselves.
A couple of years ago, I asked you if you would ever open a bar. You said it wouldn't be under your name, but then you said it wouldn't be in Nashville. So what changed about the location?
Heard about this location, found out about it. And it's still not under my name, by the way. It's Famous Friends.
Right. So. Yeah, you made that right. Yeah. Are you an owner, or is it like a management deal, or is it your name likeness, or how does that work?
You can't, if you're just hearing audio of this, you can't see what I'm doing. But I'm drinking out of the Christmas cups that are from the kitchen here. I'm taking a sip of my coffee.
Oh, we can't talk about that? Oh, okay. That's fair.
I don't go into all that.
Okay. We're nearing 20 years in your career. We're at about 17 or 18. Have you started thinking about if you would ever end up, do you want to be in the Country Music Hall of Fame? You're almost eligible.
So this is actually the 20th year I've had a record deal.
Okay. So you are eligible.
Am I?
Yeah, 20
years.
Oh,
crap. All right.
Now, you got to talk about it. Is this something that you want to achieve?
Man, I don't know if I've achieved enough for that. Even, like, you know, I've been lucky enough to have 14 number ones and had a lot of success. But, I just dropped a new record. So I don't even think about stuff like that. That's not for me to decide. I mean, I don't have a CMA or an ACM award, but I've been lucky enough to tour this long and have this many hits, and you sort of, you know, look at it from a lens of, that's not for me to decide anyway.
I got you.
So, would you want those things? Absolutely. Is it really awesome that I'm a member of the Grand Ole Opry? Absolutely. That's not up for me.
Earlier in your career, you did some shows with Alan Jackson. Mm-hmm. He's about to play his final show. Do you have any Alan Jackson stories that you can talk about?
Well, so I actually played on one of his, like, you know, group of farewell shows in Boston.
Okay.
And he was just absolutely amazing. He was one of the first tours I was ever on. You know, I'm super green. Don't know what I'm doing.
But you're on tour with Alan Jackson.
I got asked to be on tour with Alan Jackson, and I'm freaking out, but yeah. I'm trying not to freak out. So he got me a signed bottle of Jack Daniels from, okay, like, the master distiller. And then he signed it. And I'm like, I'm never going to open this. And one of my first big nominations, I was like, that's when we're going to open this. We're going to open this now. And what? I was with a bunch of friends of mine when I found out. So I was like, this is what we're doing today. We're going to have a good time. I'm going to keep this bottle forever, but, you know, this is what we're doing. And it came time for the end of the tour, and I was like, hey, what do I get Alan? I'm like, there's nothing I can get him that he can't get himself. Sure. And they were like, well, he likes Jack Daniels. And I was like, well, you got me a bottle of Jack Daniels signed by the master distiller.
What am I supposed to do?
I was like, and I don't have a lot of money. So I was like, I'm going to get him two. So the like last show that we did on that tour, I walked up on his bus and, you know, his bus is insane. And I'm just like looking around like in awe. And especially because I'm getting to sit there with Alan freaking Jackson.
Yeah.
And I was like, they said this is what you liked, man. I just got you two. Since you got me one, I can't get you a master distiller bottle. I was like, I just got you two. And
he goes,
I like those. You know, he's a very, very soft-spoken guy off stage. Like, he doesn't talk a whole lot. But he's been absolutely incredible to me. He was on my Christmas album when I released that. I reached out to him and was like, hey, I'm doing a version of New Kid in Town that was on his Christmas record with Keith Whitley. And I was like, I would love for you to be on mine if you'd be up for it and sing in the opposite spots. So, like, I'll sing where you sing and then you sing where Keith sang. And got to sing harmony behind him on the album. So I got to sing harmony for Alan Jackson.
Wow.
So yeah, I've just had amazing interactions with him. He's a great, obviously a legend, but just a great, great person.
What's next for you after this deluxe and the new single and coming up like 2027? Or what are you working on playing him?
Do you work for like my management or something?
No.
Trying to get me to do more stuff? You trying to get me to do more stuff? No, I'm playing. You know, I don't know what's next, mainly just because it's so early in the genesis of a new single and I'm now releasing the deluxe and I'm, I guess, just trying to perpetuate all this stuff and keep it going. And then I'm always working on new music, so probably digging into that when I have any sort of free time whatsoever.
More importantly, the most important thing in this interview that most people want to know is, how is Porter?
Your amazing
dog? Yeah, give me an update. How old is he now? 7?
So I don't know how old my dog is.
Man, I hope he doesn't hear this.
I'm pretty, yeah, I know he's gonna be furious. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's 8. That's why I'm questioning.
Okay.
Because I can find out the answer to this. I've got it. His birth year is on his account on Instagram. And yes, he has an Instagram.
Yes, no.
Account.
And for people that haven't seen it, he's famous.
He's got a lot of people that follow him. I haven't posted as much about him. And somebody the other day was like, is he okay? Like, we haven't seen any posts recently.
Oh, okay. Sounds like my mom if I don't post.
Yeah. Yeah, he's 8. He'll be 9 this year.
He's doing good?
Yeah, he's doing great. He's actually probably biologically nowhere close to that. Like, the vet was like, if he didn't have gray on the end of his, like, nose, and you didn't tell me how old this dog is, I wouldn't know.
Wow.
So I was like, well, that's a good sign.
Does he have any famous dog friends?
Oh, probably the most... if I was going to say famous dog friend, no, not really.
He doesn't hang out with it like anybody else's dog.
Oh, I mean, he hangs out with a lot of other dogs, but
nobody famous.
Nobody.
He's most famous,
quote unquote famous.
No one's worthy of his attention yet.
I mean, at times the dog is more famous than me.
I don't talk about Porter's relationship stuff.
I brought Porter on stage before, and he got a louder crowd pop than God. I did. So, yeah.
That's great, man. Well, dude, I love the new single. Appreciate you coming by, man.
Absolutely.
Always a pleasure to have you. A special bonus on this episode, our second interview, is country newcomer Graham Barham. He just put out his debut album, Club Country, and he stopped by. Let's get into this one. All right, we're hanging out here with Graham. It's Barham, right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, I did my homework.
Let's go, dude.
When you Google it phonetically, it comes up and it says Barham. So I was like, there we go.
I'm so glad that I can be Googled these days.
Yeah, dude. Speaking of that, give me like a quick Wikipedia rundown for our people. Like, what do you do?
For a living, I make up words with melodies. And I was working on Broadway for a while as a bartender, and then I started writing songs for other people. And then I got signed a publishing deal, and then always wanted to be an artist. And so I've been had a record deal for a couple years now, but I've always been a songwriter and still songwriting and putting out records and doing the thing.
What was the moment where you were like, this is going to happen and I'm going to get to sing the songs that I write? Was there a specific moment where you like, let's go?
Yeah. TikTok.
Okay.
TikTok told me that.
Yeah. Okay. So as soon as you,
they call it virality.
Yeah. You know,
viral. So I went viral on a video and then I was like, oh shoot, here we go. I mean, that's why I moved to town. I didn't move to town to just write for other people. I wanted to, you know, I wanted to be the guy. But yeah, that definitely showed me a lot.
Is there a pressure? Like you said, a lot of your videos have like millions of views. Mm-hmm. You have hundreds of millions of streams, but then, you know, with everything, there are some that don't have that many. What's the pressure like after you put out a huge video to come back with a heater? And if it does not happen,
bro, I mean, that's, we talk about it all the time. I mean, I feel like people aren't talking about it publicly a lot because it's ridiculous at 27 to be like, why am I letting the views of a video determine my happiness? But at the end of the day, like, it is currency. Like, I mean, it's tough, bro. I mean, it's so dumb. I'm like, why am I losing sleep?
Yeah,
over
no.
views on a video. But then you realize that the views on the video are what translate to people seeing the music. And it's like it's marketing. You know, you're like, damn, it's not hitting with them? Why is this not resonating? You know, yeah, that's no fun.
Okay, all right. I want to get into your song called Dixie Chicks.
Yeah.
It's not about the chicks.
No.
Obviously, the actual band. It's about your appreciation for Southern women.
Correct.
Who had the idea for the song?
I think it was either so I write with two guys like a ton, Cole Miracle and Bo Bailey. Bo and I grew up together in Louisiana, and he writes for Gorley, and he's a super talented. Cole and I are both signed to Chapel. We write together a lot. And I think it was Cole. I think Cole came up with it, which is funny because Cole's from Columbus, Ohio. So
he's like never seen it.
He's new to this whole deal. But we just, you know, we're all about appreciating women around here. And that was that was the way that we felt like we could glorify them the best that we could.
Were you worried about any kickback from maybe their fans or, you know, and nowadays if you mention their name, it's controversy for whatever reason.
Well, the song's not out yet, so we'll see.
Oh, okay.
It's on the album.
Are you worried about that or are you just tossing?
Hell no, dude. No. I'm not worried about nothing.
And speaking of
I'll take all the give me the controversy, dude. I'm good with that. That's what you want.
You can handle it.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I'm here because people literally, like, have you read my comments on some of my stuff?
Yeah, people go, yeah.
Yeah, bro. People definitely hate me.
How do you stop from getting into it with them?
I just realized that, like, I bought my dream truck from them doing that, so I appreciate them.
That's awesome, man.
You know?
Has anyone in country taken you under their wing, kind of giving you advice?
Yeah, Tyler Hubbard.
Okay.
My big brother.
What was it like working with him on that song?
Dude, crazy. I mean, I'm such a fan, you know? I mean, who's not? I'm such a fan of FGL, but a fan of him. You know, he's had an incredible solo career as well.
Yeah.
And, dude, it's pretty like pinch me moment. I'm like, you know, we talk pretty frequently and it's just like constant. I'm just asking for advice. So it's just nice like having somebody that is just giving you unsolicited advice. Like he's got nothing to gain from me. He's just being a good dude. And it's awesome.
When's the first time you heard like Cruise? What were you in like fifth grade?
Yeah, I was like, he doesn't like talking about it. Dude, we were.
Why is he not like talking about it?
Oh my God. It's so funny because like we're really not that far apart in age. But, like, it's enough where, like, he's onk for sure.
Okay.
And, like, when we put out the song, we were going pretty, you know, it was going pretty viral. It was going well. The tune was doing well. And he doesn't have social media on his phone.
Okay.
You know, he's very, like, tea is like very connected with the earth and people and doesn't,
I mean,
you know,
yeah.
And so he read some of the comments and he was like, man, these people out here got calling me old dog. I'm like, well, you ain't old, but you know, it ain't 2014 no more, cuz. And it's so funny because like I had no idea that was going to be some of the reaction, you know.
Wow.
But then Tyler had, I mean, they had a lot of success when they're really young, dude. Like,
yeah,
he's been doing this thing for longer than people realize. So like, yeah, it's fun. It's been fun.
What advice did he give you that really has stuck? Like, has he given you any advice, maybe from transitioning in from a writer into a artist?
You know what he's really, what something that I think is that I have, how do I put this into words? Give me a second.
Do it.
Something that I feel like I've done a really good job. I'm not really good at giving myself any grace, to be honest with you, in life and period. I'm just not one of those guys. It's like, you know?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But one thing that I do think that my parents instilled in me was like, just doing like, definitely like going with your heart, but really making sure your gut's right on certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And like, T is very like, he's like, dude, just go with your gut. Like if your gut's telling you that this isn't the right move, like it's probably not. So that's been the best advice that, you know.
Can you give me that quote in T's voice? Because you do it real good.
Hey, man, you know, you just got to go with your gut, dog. You know? It's like, when we were recording Whiskey Rain, I wanted him to go, yeah, baby, so bad. I was like, dude, just do it, bro. Just do it.
Are you always getting him, trying to get him to FaceTime Nelly?
Dude, I mean, funny enough, so he has me up to Delaware to sing. We're going to do Whiskey Rain together. We're going to do it before it comes out.
Okay.
So I fly up there. I go do the song with him. He looks at me. He's like, we're backstage. He's like, you want to do Cruise? And I was like, hell yeah, I want to sing Cruise with you. He's like, all right, you got the second verse. I'm like, easy. I get on stage, bro.
Oh, you forgot the lyrics?
I just was so freaked out. I'm like, dude, why am I, like, my heart is like, I'm like, I don't get this nervous, you know? And I'm like, I know this song like the back of my hand. What is going on? And I could not, I couldn't get anything out. I was just like, I started singing the first verse. As the second verse.
Like,
and he's like, bro, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know, dude, but I'm loving this shit, you know? And everybody can just see that I'm just geeked up, you know? I'm just having a good time. But then he went into he wrapped the whole Nelly verse.
Wow, he did? Yeah, okay. It was, so y'all kind of, okay.
It was gangster. He did, yeah.
That is an awesome story.
Yeah.
I want to talk about, you co-wrote Blake Shelton's first single off his new record, Stay Country or Die Trying.
I did.
Give me the story of that song.
Yeah, dude. We, Drew Parker, Bo, and Sam Ellis, we were writing that song kind of through the eyes of my father a little bit. That first line's like seven generations from a dirt road corn crop. Like, my pops is six generations. I would have been seven had I farmed.
Oh, okay.
So, kind of like writing it from that world. And then, you know, Drew, I don't know how much you know about Drew Parker, but he's a phenomenal artist, dude. And like, just great singer. And he teed it up. I mean, he sent it to their team, was like, we think this would be a great song for Blake. And of course I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, no way Blake Shelton's gonna listen to my songs,
right,
or whatever.
Right, right.
And then he did. And I'm like, holy crap. And I actually got to meet him for the first time at the ACMs, and I was just like, hey sir, like I wrote Stay Country Die Trying. And he looks at me and he goes, hey man, what's redneck letter testifying mean? And I knew what it meant, but I was just so enamored that I'm sitting there talking. He's like super tall.
Oh, he's super tall. Yeah.
Super nice.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I like am enamored that I'm talking to him. And I go, I don't know, dude. My buddy Bo wrote that line. He says some crazy shit. That's all I can get out. And I'm like, dude, you know what it means. Why are you like? And then I just went back and sat at my table and was like, what did you, dude? We gotta figure this out. If you're gonna be around these people, we gotta figure this shit out. Like, yeah. We can't just be saying the first, like. But dude, it's so cool. Like, I mean, it's so blessed, like, for that song. So thankful for that. You know, that has an like, put me in a lot of wonderful positions.
Yeah.
So I'm very thankful for that. That was a huge goal of mine, to have a number one song as a songwriter. obviously I want Benny as an artist as well, right. But I mean, that was a huge goal of mine. So very thankful.
And dude, I listened to Break Up Down to like twice before you came in. So when the original song came out, I was on pop radio.
Let's go.
So we played it like every hour. This is a huge song. I was on a float with Jay Sean in the Philadelphia Thanksgiving Day Parade or something. And I was like, are you going to sing down? And he had a mic and he looked at me and he's like, no, man, he's got an English accent. No, man, I'm just going to lip sync. I was like, oh, now like messed me up. You know,
messed me up, dude. Man, that really messed me up.
That really got to me.
Dude, he was, I'm really hoping to like link up with him because he has been the homie through this. Like, you know, we interpolated the song.
Yeah.
And he, you know, we sent him the song and I'm pretty sure I'm not lying to you when I tell you the story, but if I am, then like whatever.
Okay.
My team told me that he heard it and was like, hell yeah. So that was cool. Cause that dude, that song was, is a smash.
Yeah.
And dude. So I like, that's people are like, oh, well dude, all I had to do was make sure that I didn't make it worse. You know what I mean? Right. Like you already know it's a hit.
Was
like,
there a lot of pressure there?
For sure.
Did you ever think this song was too big to mess with?
I mean, there is that thought, right? Like you don't want to, taint something, you know,
right,
but like,
right.
But no, dude, I mean, I felt like we did it justice and we spent a lot of time on it and tweaked it and wanted to make sure that it was right. And, I'm stoked. I mean, I think it's like a nostalgia bomb.
Have they? You know? Yeah. Oh, dude, it's awesome. Have they heard it? Do you know?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Okay. And have you met or talked to Lil Wayne?
No, I haven't, but I would love to get him or Jay Sean on the song.
I could definitely see that.
I'm gonna manifest that actually as we're sitting right here, bro.
I'm gonna get
one of them on the song.
And that way we can rewind it back.
That's right.
Actually
yeah.
Let's see. Were you worried about releasing that as your first like radio single, as your big introduction to radio?
No. I think it's a perfect piece for me. You know, I obviously a lot of my music is not I wouldn't say a lot of my music is radio, you know, the best song to be put on the radio, but it doesn't mean it's not the best song to be, you know, out there for me. So I felt like when entering that world, the radio world, I felt like it was a perfect blend of like, all right, here's still what I do. This is my thing. But also like, I want something that lives in that radio world as well. Cause I love radio. I mean, it's awesome. It's feel good music. It's like, I want to be a part of it. So I felt like it was a great entrance.
And it is, man.
Thank you.
And I'm reading the comments on that. Like people are like, I needed this nostalgia bomb. Everybody's going nuts. And I think have you met Shaboozy and talked to him about the song?
Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
And did he give you any advice on how to do linking the two genres together?
Dude, honestly, you know, Boozy is, I think the last I spoke to him, he was like, he sends me some music, you know, like he sends me I want to do a song with him really bad and he knows that. And so I'm always like kind of sending him tunes, you know, and he's like, I think this will be a good blend. And I'm like, that dude has an incredible ear for like what his like, brand and just like everything about what he's trying to say. So I think like, I don't know if he said anything directly to me, but he has definitely given me hints of like, this is how, you know, it could look for you type of deal.
That's awesome.
You know?
I saw you wearing a Drew hoodie. Have you met Justin Bieber?
No, I have not, but I'm a huge, he's my goat.
Okay.
He is my goat.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Early Bieber,
all of it. I'm a believer, dog.
Yeah,
absolutely, dude. I didn't have no fat head in my room on the wall or nothing, but no cardboard cutouts. But yeah,
you remember Baby One Time?
You ain't gonna stomp me on a Bieber album,
yeah,
bro.
Okay, nah. Okay. What's your favorite Bieber song
of all time?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Oh, gotta be.
It's gotta be a hit though. No deep cut. Cause I know you're a songwriter. Okay. You're going to give me a deep cut. I know you're going to give me a deep cut. Give me like a radio single.
I'm trying to think.
Like for me, it's got to be Baby, I think, with Luda on it.
Well, I'm trying to think what was. I just don't know if this was a radio single. Hold up.
I also like the one where he's like, Swag, Swag, Swag.
The new album.
Yeah.
I don't, dude.
That's all right.
I think As Long As You Love Me is my favorite Bieber song of all time. Was that a hit though?
I don't know.
You know that song? Yeah. As long as you love, la 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 la.
Maybe.
No. All right. Well, for the sake of that world, I'd have to say it probably Beauty and a Beat.
Oh, okay. That's a good one. I've heard of
also,
that.
That song's like resurfacing right now. Really? Going crazy. Okay. Yeah. I saw somebody sent me a, all these kids that like didn't listen to that kind of stuff like growing up are now with social media are like finding older songs and like re-blowing them back up on social media. It's sick.
Yeah.
And then Beauty and a Beat, a buddy of mine sent it and was like, dude, so dumb. These kids like think they're finding something. Like we found this shit way back then. Yeah.
What's on your career bucket list that we haven't talked about?
My career bucket list? Dude, I mean, I just want to be happy when this is all said and done. Like, I think that's what I'm chasing right now, honestly. It's just like discernment and like happiness. But I think like as far as a tangible goal or something, man, I really the day that I picture in my head is when I'm playing Bridgestone Arena and they're all singing club country songs. I think that's like we'll be good.
Yeah.
I'll be like, I appreciate it, man. You know?
My guess was that you were going to say like a stadium. So yeah, I mean, dreaming bigger for you.
Stadiums for sure. Yeah, but I think like in my head for like my genre, like for what I'm trying to do as well, I feel like my music just kind of like would go harder in like a closed area.
Ooh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of like club music. So I love it in my head. I mean, definitely. Who don't want to play stadiums, right?
Yeah.
But I think in my mind, like when I first moved to town, I went and saw Ed Sheeran at Bridgestone Arena, and then the next night I saw Kelsey Ballerini, and I was like, I want to be that. That's what I want to do.
All right.
So I think like when I close my eyes, that's like something that hits me the most.
The next manifest.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Have you ever been punched in the face?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Tell me the story.
Yeah. No, I don't remember much of it. Yeah, dude, I've been hit.
How many times?
I'm sure enough.
Okay.
Like, oh, how many times that one time? Or like
no,
how many times?
I'm sure, dude. This some guy beat the shit out of me.
No,
how many times do you think you've been punched in the face?
A handful.
Okay. Do you agree with like...
For sure.
You...
Are you asking me if I do? Did I deserve it?
Yeah. Well, like everyone's got something to say until they get punched in the face.
Yeah.
Like,
have you ever been hit in the face?
I've not. That's why, dude, I asked that, because I've never been punched in the face.
I'm going to be so... I'm going to keep it a buck with you.
Okay.
All right. There are like two things in the world I think that suck. Like suck. And that is stubbing your toe.
Yeah, okay.
And getting hit in the face.
Wow. It's like that, stubbing your toe, man.
Dude, getting hit in the face is the most bullshit thing to happen to anybody.
Does it hurt more on the bottom? Like
just everywhere, dude. It just hurts. It just hurts.
Damn, okay.
I got hit. My cousin came into town to Nashville, and I was like, hey, man, like, let's not do nothing. You know, let's not get any arguments here.
Okay.
In Midtown. And he was like, man, this one old boy is looking at me sideways and like starts getting into it. And then what do you know? I'm like watching this. You know, I didn't even have anything to do with it. And I got hit in the nose. And I think that probably hurt the worst. Because when you get hit in the nose, your eyes start watering real bad.
Yeah.
It makes me just look at those dudes that are in MMA and boxing and be like, y'all are badass.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
I'm soft,
man,
for sure.
Nah, you're good, man. I'm excited about the album, man. I want people to hear it and get it out there, man. That's good stuff, man. Good work.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate it. Yeah. Have you listened to it?
I have. I only heard a few songs off.
No, give it a spin.
I got to send it to you. Yeah, send it to me.
Right? I will. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Thanks for coming by, man.
I appreciate you, dude.
Hell yeah.
Thank you for the questions.
All right, now we'll get to a throwback interview from our vault. We're going to go back to April of 2022 when we spoke with Carly Pierce. So this is over 4 years ago. Keep that in mind as you're listening. Taste of Country Nights, it's Evan Paul in here with Carly Pierce. What's happening?
Oh, you know, just hanging.
Traveling, singing.
All the things, all the good things.
How far would we have to walk into your house to know that Carly Pierce lives here?
You would walk in my hallway and turn the corner into my living room, and there's a shrine of myself, and I'm fine with it. My dad thinks it's a little aggressive, but when you've worked your whole life, every plaque, every award, everything is there.
Now, do you have room on the wall for it to expand, or would that require like actually remodeling?
I'm at max capacity. So I have some plaques in my garage, which is a nice feeling. I'll take it.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Mm-hmm. All right. So will the next single be off 29?
It will.
Okay. And do you know what it is?
Or I do.
Are you talking about it?
Maybe it's about things that they didn't do. Oh, there's your clue.
And then what's next for Carly Pierce?
Oh my gosh. Well, I just started the Kenny Chesney tour. We're out all year with him. I go to Europe for the first time on a headlining tour, in the fall. And I'm halfway done writing my next album. So, I don't see anything slowing down. So hopefully new music at the beginning of next year.
How many songs would you say you have done already? And are they for sure shoe-ins to make it, or could they get cut?
I think I've thought a lot about this, but I think I probably have 7 that are for sure. So I think that's a good place to be.
Okay. And do you have to run that by anybody, or are you at the point where you turn it in and there it is?
I mean, I let people hear them, but okay. I feel like I'm lucky to have a team that knows if I'm going to turn it in, then there is a reason that it needs to be on the record.
And you were talking about the Chesney tour.
Yes.
What a great slot for you to be in, like, opener. But it's stadium tours. Is that very nerve-wracking to, like, walk out and there's over, like, 50,000 people just right there looking at you? Is it more nerve-wracking?
It's an interesting. So I'm on the stadium tour, and I'm the first at 5, which, you know, a lot of people are just coming in and it's still light out, so you kind of have to work a little harder. And then I'm also on the amphitheater tour and it's just he and I. So that's like a little bit more of my bread and butter, but I'm kind of enjoying the challenge of being in the middle of the day trying to get people's attention. And I will say his catwalk, little thing going out there in a stadium, is so long. And I am a distance runner, and I watched him last week run up and down that thing, no problem. And I'll never understand, because I almost had a full-on panic attack. I could not catch my breath. And I was like, okay, Kenny Chesney is in better shape than me. Gotta work on this. Got it.
Tell me a fan story from Never Wanted to Be That Girl, like just one that pops in your head.
I would say the one that I think of the most, I was in Albany probably a month and a half ago, and there was this tiny little cardboard sign. I feel like most people make really beautiful signs, and this girl's sign wasn't beautiful, and I couldn't read it, and it was kind of small, and it just had like a Sharpie on it. And finally, you know, you see a lot of things at the shows, but for some reason, I felt like I needed to stop my show to read this sign, because she kept kind of holding it up at me, and I said, "What does your sign say?" And she said, or she brought it over to me, and it said, "We have both been dating the same guy for 2 years. This song saved us." And they were living and Never Wanted to Be That Girl story, where the girls were dating the same guy for 2 years and didn't know about each other. And now they're coming together as friends to my show because my music has saved them. And that was just mind blowing.
Are you more sympathetic to which side, a certain side of being that girl, being with the past?
I think that's what's so awesome about this song is Ashley and I, when we wrote it, we were very intentional about not making it about the women hating each other, because I think in a lot of situations, it doesn't matter. It's the realization of, oh my God, I never thought I would be here. And it doesn't matter. Both women are innocent. It's that man's fault. You know?
You're right. Yeah. So the women, I never understand why women or men blame the other men or other woman.
I don't either. I'm like, come on. It's not, they don't know.
On Sunday, 2 more Kentucky girls are going to be entered into the Country Music Hall of Fame, the Judds. Are you old enough to appreciate kind of like what they did? Like, were you jamming out to them back in the day, or?
Oh, I wish I could tell you something about that, but I can't. It's a surprise. The Judds are one of my absolute favorite artists on the planet ever. If you listen to 29, I mean, Easygoing, my song, I totally tried to just straight rip the Judds. And I've told Wynonna that, so she knows. They, to me, were just that rootsy sound that I love so much, that I grew up on, and just the tone of her voice. I mean, it's evolved over the years, but that was some of my earliest memories of discovering country music. I love them.
And do you speak with, like, why are you texting?
When I won female vocalist at the CMAs, I got a random phone number pop up on my phone and I answered it. And Carly, it's Wynonna. And I was like, I was at my house by myself and she just called me and we've become friends now. And it's just, you know, when your heroes become your friends, that's pretty crazy, but she's awesome. So we text and she's the best.
Wow. That's crazy.
I'm like, hey, Wynonna, what are you doing?
Speaking of texting, okay, which country female artist would you say you text the most with?
The most. I mean, I text quite a few of them. I mean, I text Ashley a lot. Kelsey's a dear friend. Lainey is a really good friend. Trisha is a good friend. Yearwood.
Are there any group chats? Like, is there like a group chat with like Trisha, Kelsey, Carly? Like,
that would be incredible. We used to have one going, Kelsey, Marin, and I. We had one for a while like that. So yeah, we had that one.
Can you fire that one back up today? Can I be your inspiration?
Come on, I'll just
send a gif or something.
They'll be like, what, are you drunk? Are you all right?
Should Kentucky's Keith Whitley be inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame?
Are you asking
yeah.
me? I can't believe he's not. He's one of the greatest vocalists of all time. Absolutely.
Should Dolly Parton be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I know she wants to be super classy and humble, but yes, she should. She absolutely should. But I thought it was amazing that she didn't feel like that was something that she should have. I just love her. Obviously.
Yeah. I mean, you spent some time.
Yeah.
What's a must-have item for you backstage on tour?
Do you even have to ask that? Red wine. And, I mean, I'll give you another one. Orbit Sweet Mint Gum. I have kind of a problem. I probably, you know, like the 3 packs of gum that you get, I'll chew through an entire 3-pack in a day. So it's like a smoking habit, but it's chewing gum.
So that's like 60 pieces.
It's a lot. I've never had a cavity either. Don't know how, but yes, it's kind of like my little nervous tick. If somebody's telling me something, I have to chew gum.
Do you order it on Amazon?
Oh, yeah. In the big packs.
Yeah.
I'm chewing it right now. Dude. Every
notice.
Second. I'm
really?
Always on stage. If I'm on it, like an award show, I've always got gum.
You told me before you were picked on a little bit in high school.
Yeah.
Do any of those girls, like the Nelly song, hey, can I get tickets? Hell no. Are you for real? Do any of those girls hit you up like nothing ever happened?
Do you know that they come wearing my merch and pay for meet and greets? Mm-hmm. And you're just like, really? They're the first to post when you win something on Facebook. And you're just like, all right. But you know what? Like somewhere in my little brain, I love telling Carly that, you know, they made fun of her and thought she was stupid for loving country music and all these things that, you know, one day it's going to come back and you won't have to do anything. You can just smile.
And finally, 10 years from now, what do you want people to say about your album 29?
Wow. That it was the turning point of my artistry. And thank God she went through a divorce.
Well, that's all I got. Do we have time? We don't have time to do a little. Can I have a 1 minute, 60 second song challenge? All right. Headphones. You got to complete.
Oh.
I'm going to play a song snippets. Oh. It goes really fast. 60 seconds. You just have to complete the line of the song.
Okay.
All right.
Oh.
You just got to be ready.
All right.
All right. Here we go. Song number one. Still, you're still
the one I run to. The one that I belong to. Oh, Grandpa, tell me about the good old days.
Said you can be anything you want to be.
She's a wild one away.
I don't trust you, so you know that one's ever lost.
But you know that the judge got bloodstains on his hands.
That way, tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a heartache.
I never wanted to be that girl.
I never wanted to hate myself.
Sweat digging, rock and roll, and rhythm and blues.
Is that I was sun cream?
Some girls are
only about. it again. Since you've been gone, I can't breathe for the first
time. Yeah, nice job.
Who did I miss? Was that Barbara Mandrell that I missed?
Yes.
Dang it. So, I was country before country was cool. I knew it, but it made me nervous.
We'll give you that in post.
Thank you.
Well, congratulations on all your success. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.
All right, let's bring in Billy Dukes to talk about what's going on here in country music from tasteofcountry.com. What do we got?
A couple big weekends in country music. This weekend, Alan Jackson's final show, and I do believe this is the final show. You know, that's almost a thing now. People say, this is my final show. 2 years later, they're touring.
I noticed something that I was going to ask you about. I don't know if it was just one plate. I saw something that said final big show.
No, I think this is it.
But, like, is he, I would thought, is he leaving it open for, like, bar mitzvahs or weddings?
Oh, yeah,
or,
I suppose he could be.
Like, is this the last time he gets, this is how I broke it down. Is this the last time he gets on an elevated platform and sings to people?
I think it is.
Even if it's 100 people?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. And I suspect, I mean, it's been a year-ish since we've seen him take a stage. And kind of as he told us, his mobility has started to become a little limited. Like he's had good days and bad days. I'm wondering what it's going to look like this coming weekend, you know, on stage and how mobile he'll be.
Okay.
That's a point of curiosity. But I think after this weekend's show, we may know for sure that this is. I mean, if he gets up there and he looks great, then maybe he will sneak in something. And because, you know, remember, this is CMT. I don't know anything about the research, the cures, the treatment, but there's advances in all medicines through the years. So there could be some sort of possibility that there's an advancement that allows him to regain some of that lost mobility, right? That's, yeah. We can imagine that scenario.
But he's all grandpa now. Maybe he doesn't want to, he wants to be a grandpa.
No, I'm sure he probably does, but you get that itch, you know, in a few years, there's some advancements. He's feeling better than ever. Maybe he goes and does 3 shows in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But I don't think so. If I was a betting man, I would say this is probably it for Alan Jackson.
And he's made enough money to...
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, he's like a Saudi Arabian prince in terms of bank account. Because he's a songwriter. He writes all of his own songs.
Oh, wow.
There's so many of them. Songs for others, touring. I mean, their album sales. I feel like that generation of artists who kind of peaked in the 90s.
Yeah.
And were relevant. And very, very popular in the 2000s. Like, that's like the artists who made the most money in this game. Because that's when all the record sales, like, that's where that was the peak record sale era.
Yeah, compact disc.
100%. And then live shows started to become more and more lucrative, bigger and bigger venues.
Yeah.
Like, those artists, I feel like, made more money than any generation before them. And I would say any generation after them, because now I don't have the math here, but I don't think streaming is paying out that same amount of money.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And the other thing is, like, you got artists like, now I don't know how much of this is was a shtick or not, but, you know, you got Garth. I know when I was working in Portland or something, Oregon, Garth comes in, does like a show, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh, we're gonna do 4 more right here. Because the people are so, didn't he do like a bunch of shows in one city back to back to back?
Yeah.
You know, nobody's doing that anymore. Like,
right.
Morgan Wallen is the closest thing to that, but I mean, he's doing maybe, but it's announced. I don't know. I feel like that was always the thing we would say on the radio is like, Garth just announced he's staying in town for 2 more days and doing another show. I don't know how much that has to be a shtick logistically, I would think.
I think from the get-go, Garth had set up and booked like 5, 6, 7 dates and then just kind of made it. And I kind of thought that's where we might be headed with some of these bigger artists. They might do like mini residencies, 3 shows in Chicago, right? 4 shows in Oklahoma City. I thought that's where we could go back then.
Yeah.
But then COVID hit and everything sort of changed. And, you know, now... In 2026, it's impossible to imagine people doing this.
Unless, well, because it costs, number one, it costs a ton of money. Unless you are Chris Stapleton, who we saw this week just dropped ticket prices for the 4th of July concert he's having in Los Angeles with the Smashing Pumpkins to $17.76. I think that's awesome. Now, if you did Chris Stapleton in LA for four nights, back to back to back to back, and they were $20 a shot for the tickets, you're going to fill that thing up like it's the 90s. But the ticket prices now are just insane. But shout out to Chris Stapleton for doing that. And I think he gave away some tickets to first responders.
So this is a July 4th specialty show. Kind of a strange lineup, right? Yeah. Chris Stapleton, Smashing Pumpkins.
Queen Latifah.
Hosted by Queen Latifah. I wonder who the Ann Moore is in this thing. I would not have bet on Chris Stapleton and the Smashing Pumpkins ever playing a show together. But
dude, I bet they'll play a song together. I could Stapleton would sound good on like 1979.
Maybe. But Garth did do that to an extent when he did all those shows. Like, he kept all of his ticket prices below $100, which is reasonable nowadays. You know, you're not going to get a $30 concert ticket.
Well, why not, man? You used to be able to sit on the lawn. Like, what happened? Like, I used to be able to, like, have crappy lawn seats that turned out to be great because they were $8 and you get a beers and hamburgers. Well,
you can get probably a $70 lawn seat.
That's ridiculous.
You think?
I mean, I sound like the get off my lawn old man, but I mean,
it's high, but yeah.
I'm not the guy to talk. I get to go to some concerts for free. I'm really out of the, I don't know how much concert ticket prices are. But that's crazy.
Well, to that point, that's normally, according to Taste of Country's Evan Paul.
Yeah, well, I know how much they are now.
SeatGeek says that a Chris Stapleton concert ticket usually spans between $106 and $500.
Oh, yeah, okay.
How about, did you see, now I don't know if this was true or not, but one of our...
If it was in my article, it was not
true. No, this was a social media post by a country music news outlet. I don't remember which one, but it was one that... is in the truth-telling business.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It wasn't one of those that's kind of strange you see out there with, like, Carrie Underwood and Luke Bryant looking sad, holding a sign that says, vote for us to play the Super Bowl.
I've seen a lot less of those lately, by the way.
I have, too. This was a legit one that I heard of before.
Okay.
They said that someone was trying to, or a website, a ticket vendor website that I had heard of, I don't remember which one again, was selling Morgan Wallen tickets for, I think, like $100,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Or something like that. Now, I don't think no one's buying that, right?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, that's more expensive than like floor seats at the Game 7 of the Knicks or whatever.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I mean, even if you're, this is where it gets weird to me. If you're rich enough to get floor seats, likely you should be getting floor seats for free.
Yes,
and that's where it kind of. It's this old saying that the richer you get, the more stuff you get for free.
Right.
For famous people, they don't pay for hardly anything. They show up to these venues, they get wardrobes. Everyone gives them stuff, especially nowadays with social media.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I forgot what we were talking about, but yeah.
You know what was interesting to me? Because the last several months, we've tried pretty hard to get artists to talk a little bit about Alan Jackson and share some memories. And you really get a sense of how reserved and shy he was. Like, no one... Like, you ask for Hank Jr. stories, you get these bangers, right?
I mean,
these great stories. You ask for Alan Jackson stories, and people kind of struggle to give a story that's, like, super, super interesting.
It sounds like they were all sitting next to him in recliners that were facing a TV, not each other, and just watching TV while drinking beer, and no one really said anything to each other.
100%. And I think, and this isn't like an insult to the man by any stretch. He just was a different kind of artist.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't out there like just ripping it up after shows. At least no one's talking about it. Even George Strait, we've gotten a little bit of an inkling of this. People have told the story. We're like, oh yeah, George Strait. Now we had a few
really?
Drinks.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Parker McCollum was in here that one time and he told just a little taste that maybe there was something that George did that was a little wild.
Okay, okay.
You know, Brooks and Dunn, you certainly got that. Willie Nelson, everybody in the world smoked weed with Willie Nelson.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like those stories are out there. But Alan Jackson, he just threw on a ball game, played some music, and moved on to the next city.
Yeah. Manned a lot of grills, I could see in his day, like wearing an apron that says, like, Grill Dad, you know, stuff like that. Like,
I got one of those.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it's green.
Yeah, I could totally see him. So he's going to fall right into retirement. Nice. You know, he's kind of already been living that Jimmy Buffett type lifestyle.
Yeah, I don't think he'll miss the fame.
No.
You know, or that hit from the stage. He might miss the live show, but he's not going to miss any of those other sort of trappings.
Yeah, boots turn into flip-flops. You know, jeans turns into shorts.
Yeah.
They wear that grand. He'll start wearing the grandpa cardigans, and that'll be it, you know?
How old is Alan Jackson?
I'm going to say 66.
Pretty close, 67. He'll turn 68 in October.
Okay.
So not old, not super old. Now, here's what I'm talking about. One of those fake websites, I search Alan Jackson age, and I'm not joking, the fourth response is Classic Country Echoes reporting family mourns the passing of Alan Jackson.
Well, I don't want to laugh because this could have happened 30 seconds ago. And we just might not know. So
Classic Country Echoes actually has a number of different things. And all these posts were from... Anyway, don't get me started on...
Well, that's like you never know. I mean, that's like when I remember where I was when I found out Michael Jackson died. I was preparing for my... I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but I was preparing for my radio show.
So was I.
Okay. And one of the sites I went to was TMZ. And I was on TMZ and I was going through. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I just hit refresh just real quick.
Yeah.
And then it was like 6 seconds ago, Michael Jackson died. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Can I pivot from our planned talk points here? Because I have a question for you about something you did recently.
Yeah.
You were in the presence of Dolly Parton.
Oh, yeah. I was so close to Dolly Parton.
Like what? Me to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And for clarity, Evan and I are about 5 feet apart currently.
Yeah, definitely. I'll tell you like 6 feet. Maybe.
Okay, fair enough.
I was so close that her security like had to tell me to move a little bit.
Okay, so we should clarify, you were invited to be in her presence.
Yeah, so Dolly Parton's...
stalking situation.
No, it's Dolly's Tennessean travel stop. Say that 5 times in a row. But it's Dolly Parton's first... truck stop,
right?
And it was so nice, and nobody knew that Dolly was going to be there. This was like a grand opening. Like I had my wife, kids, we're standing all up front. You know, we thought it was cool. We got to walk through the whole gas station, mart, shopping. It has all this exclusive Dolly stuff. I saw the cup of ambition. I tasted it.
Oh, was that just a cup of coffee?
Yeah, it tasted fine to me, but there was nothing in it. So I'm like, I can't drink black coffee.
Oh, it was just black. All right.
Yeah, but they had samples. Would you like light, medium, dark? And I was just like dark because that's the Keurig cup I like. But I usually put a bunch of stuff in it. So I bet it tasted good. They had a barbecue joint and everything. But anyway, at like... 1:45, there's like 50 media people or whatever. They say that we all need to go outside to the front for the ribbon cutting ceremony. So we're hanging out there and it's hot, taking forever. All of a sudden, someone comes out and says that breaking news, Dolly Parton's on her way to Cornersville. That's where it is.
Cornersville, Tennessee.
And we were all freaking out. The whole crowd, like everyone went nuts. And then I went to the PR lady that I know that invited us, and I was like, because my daughter was freaking out. My daughter's 7.
Liddy. And she knows who Dolly Parton is.
Yes, because she got to interview Dolly Parton on Zoom.
Oh, okay. Is this during COVID?
No, it was when Dolly put out the rock and roll album.
All right, all right.
You know, it was just Zoom because Dolly's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, she's just doing all Zoom.
Yeah, so I interviewed Dolly and then brought my daughter in at the end, and she got to talk to Dolly. But we never were in Dolly's presence. So all of a sudden, Dolly Parton walks out. It's a whole shtick, dude. Like, her security is like Secret Service. Like, 5 guys. Let me tell you what, each guy had on a fresh pair of cowboy boots, boot cut jeans, a big belt buckle, and a blazer. No shirt, no tie, a shirt, and a blazer. And in that blazer, each one had some stuff going on.
You think they had a piece?
I don't know. I saw some stuff going on.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I don't know. but they all had radio comms in. They're talking to each other. Wow. Those guys stood out there for about 25 minutes before Dolly came out. In the time they said she was on her way to when she showed up, about 25 minutes, those guys, and they were serious.
They were sweeping.
No smiling. They were eye sweeping, taking it so seriously. And then once it was time for Dolly to come out, there was like a brigade before Dolly. You know, you could tell like there was like two other of those security guards that I mentioned dressed exactly the same. And then there was two PR ladies came out. Then another security guard, not dressed exactly the same, didn't have the big belt buckle, didn't have the cowboy hat. He was the one holding on to, that Dolly was holding on to as they walked out. He wasn't holding her up.
Escorting her kind of the way you would an older embraced. Woman.
Yeah. Like you would a woman.
All right.
And then after her, there was like a tail end of like people,
other
more security on. And the security guards went to like, they came out like, this was like watching the Secret Service. Like they came out, boom, position, boom, position, boom, position.
Was there snipers on the roof?
I literally said to my wife, are there snipers here? And then Dolly came out and she's just awesome, man. She came out.
What'd you talk for, like 30 seconds?
Yeah, she was like, I can tell you exactly what she said. She came out, she had a microphone. The guy that introduced her was the investor. He tried to give her his microphone, but she already had one. So she came out and she was like, hey, hey, hey. The second thing she said was, I got a microphone. Then I don't think he understood or didn't hear. Then she said, I got one. I got one. And then she was like, how y'all doing out here in this hot sun? And then she's made a dig at Bucky's. She said, people ask me why I decided to open up my travel stop. You know, she got into how she wanted it to be a place where everybody's welcome and a good place on the road. And then at the end of all the big, long sentiment, she goes, I couldn't let the beaver leave it to Beaver. I couldn't just leave it to Beaver. I had to have my own.
What a classic.
Everybody went nuts.
That's a double joke.
Yeah.
A Bucky's and a classic TV show.
Yeah, leave it to Beaver. And I knew it was good when everybody in the audience reacted except me, because it took me like 10 seconds to figure out what happened. But then I was like, I was laughing after everybody stopped laughing. But it was awesome. And then she cut the ribbon.
Yep.
They had the huge scissors. She was walking, but like she was never walking alone.
Okay. A little physically limited, maybe.
Yeah, but not at all. But like it looked like, you know how you have car insurance but never use it?
Yes.
It was like those guys were her insurance, but she wasn't really using it. Like she wasn't holding on. But like when she was standing next to the podium, she kind of had her hand on the podium, you know, but she was all there. Like I feel like she could perform. Like she wasn't.
This is important context.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. I mean, obviously Dolly's had some health issues the past year or so. She's canceled some shows in Vegas.
Yeah.
And people have been a little bit concerned, although she hasn't been specific. But she's kind of indicated that she was in good health. She was getting some checkups and some maintenance. Might be a little more serious than that. Who knows? But we've had legends in the past where people have tried to tell us that, you know, they're as good as ever. And then you immediately get to the show or the interview or whatever. And you realize you're talking to, a shell of.
Yeah.
I remember one particular interview with a legend on the CBS morning show. And I could just tell how it was sort of pieced together to make her look in him or her look in the best possible light.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay, I see. But that's not this.
I was watching. Like, I mean, she stepped over the door jam.
Yeah.
Herself. The guy was holding.
Oh, well, I mean, that's my mom's struggling with door. You know, I mean, she's 15 years younger.
Yeah. And she was. She walked fast. Like, I have video of it at tasteofcountry.com. She was moving fast. Like, when she walked out the door, like she walked like the first thing that came to my mind is like a seeing Shania Twain come out for Man, I Feel Like a Woman 20 years ago. All like right. She walked out with all sass.
All right, she's getting out
sass,
there.
Class, right. And she was moving. She just had an insurance with her.
Fair.
Each time.
Fair.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, you answer. I mean, that was you know what I like about your story? You answer all the questions that people really want to know. I mean, you could have just talked about whatever she's got, a jerky wall or barbecue or anything. But really, we all just kind of want, how's Dolly? I think that's always the question with Dolly, is how's Dolly?
I was paying point. So much attention.
Same with like Willie Nelson. Number one question with Willie, how's Willie?
Yeah.
That's what we want to know.
Yeah.
Everything else is second.
I'm glad I could help out with that. Yeah, that was such an experience. Like, to be in her just presence. We kept telling our daughter, like, you don't understand. Like, mommy and daddy never thought we would ever see Dolly Parton in the flesh. And like, you get to see her when you're seven. Like, is like, she was just like, can I get Skittles? Like, she didn't
care.
No. We did end up buying Skittles.
Yeah, I gotta get Skittles.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, coming up next week on the podcast, we are rolling through. We have Josh Ross, who's set to have the number one song in country radio with Hate How You Look. He's going to be on with us. And then a country newcomer, Ty Myers, will also be on the show. And then following that, if you have any kids or if you're paying attention to the internet, Maddox Batson is pretty viral right now. All the kids love him. He's going to stop by, and we'll have a lot of fun hanging out, talking to him coming up in the following weeks. Give us a like, give us a subscribe, and all that stuff. It helps us out here at Taste of Country Nights On Demand.